southbound, westbound, southwestbound in the Intracoastal Waterway on Monday, January 20. Fuck this weather. What's today's real feel?
Cold.
Yeah. This is what we've got going on today. Let's go from the waist down. I have on a pair of underwear. You're welcome. This is probably, I won't tell you how many days in a row I've worn this pair of underwear, but God knows I'm not sweating, so I figured we'll cut down on laundry, because I'm not showering either. On top of the underwear, we've got long underwear. That would be Helly Hansen long underwear. Why? Because I'm a freaking Helly Hansen fanboy. Kobe, much less of the Helly Hansen fan. She bought some very expensive Helly Hansen long underwear that she doesn't think fits her very well, and she ended up cutting the neck out of her long underwear top with a pair of scissors. She now looks like a Helly Hansen raver. Underwear, Helly Hansen wool long underwear. Clamped over the Helly Hansen long underwear is a pair of wool socks. Over the long underwear would be a two-layer pair of running pants that I used to wear when I jogged in D.C. So underwear, long underwear, pair of wool socks, pair of two-layer nylon running pants, then another pair of wool socks, and then on top of that, my fallies. My fall wear the bottoms. Yeah, it's not going to rain today, but they are excellent wind protection. So that's what's going on from the waist down. So then from the waist up, I've got Helly Hansen base layer, which is a, I don't know what the heck it's made of, but it's certainly nothing that ever existed in nature, kind of stretchy t-shirt looking thing. That's my base layer. That's under my base layer, and my base layer is a Helly Hansen merino wool, three-layer woven waffle weave wicking wool long underwear top, which has a zip neck and long sleeves and is spectacular. On top of the long underwear, I have a very thin fleece hoodie. On top of the fleece hoodie, I have a wool sweater. On top of the wool sweater, I have a fleece hoodie. On top of the fleece hoodie, I have my Helly Hansen offshore jacket. And from the neck up, I would be wearing a balaclava. And on top of the balaclava,
a wool hat.
This is Postcards from Sea. With me, your host, John Herlig. I'm back aboard my boat and sailing south. This is a busy episode. We have drawbridges. We talk about how to pronounce a city named B-E-A-U-F-O-R-T. My mom makes cookies. And it seems that everywhere we go, people want to buy me beer. And I'm okay with that. Oh, also, we have audio from the worst day ever. After our last episode, Kobe and Ave and I crossed the new San Pamlico rivers, hid from some winds, and then made our way down into the Carolinas, where North Carolina treated us much, much better than South. And funny thing about this episode, as I sit here and edit posts about miserable cold and frozen fingertips, I'm in Manjack Key in the Bahamas. It's about 96 degrees, and the sun is just melting everything in sight. Meanwhile, here's Kobe, Ave Del Mar's navigation-resistant co-captain. Say hi, Kobe.
Hello.
She got to learn more about drawbridges, including this one, at Onslow Beach in North Carolina. Southbound motor yacht approaching Onslow. This is the sailing vessel off your bow.
It's Frost Creek, go ahead.
If you want, you're welcome to swing around my port side. I think you're a little faster than I am.
All right, I appreciate that. We're still going to meet at the bridge anyway, but thanks for that. I'll move slow.
Roger that. I'll queue up behind you.
Southbound, next scheduled opening.
Copy, Captain, for the 3 o'clock.
Onslow Beach, Ave Del Mar.
Go ahead, Ave Del Mar.
And just confirming, I'm the southbound sailing vessel second in line, and we'll be coming through that 3 o'clock also, sir.
Copy, Captain, this is Onslow Beach Bridge. Continue your approach for the 3 o'clock opening. welcome, Captain. You have a good day.
Thank you, Onslaught. Vega Mars clear. You have a good day.
You're welcome, Captain. You have a good day, Captain.
That's a pretty typical bridge crossing, and the bridge tender, as we call the guy who operates the bridge for you, was just super friendly. So we trudged on southward, heading towards our anchorage in Beaufort, North Carolina. North Carolina and South Carolina both have a city of what might appear to be the same name, B-E-A-U-F-O-R-T. Don't ask me who Beaufort was and whether or not they're named after the same Beaufort or brothers or archenemies. I have no idea. Don't really care. Well, that's not true. I do care, but not enough to look it up. But the funny thing, of course, to anyone who is amused by these things is that they are pronounced very differently. So that would be Beaufort, North Carolina, and Beaufort, South Carolina. Now you know. And there's a lot of people just sitting there right now nodding their heads going, yep, that's what it is. Beaufort and Beaufort. Good morning. Oh, crap. Things flying around all over in the cockpit. Okay, let's try that again. Good morning. It is Saturday, January 12th, and I just weighed anchor in the Newport River. Oh, that's awfully pretty. Beaufort, North Carolina, a little anchorage called the Newport Marshes. It is a brisk, but not terribly cold, 33 or 34 degrees Fahrenheit this morning, which is a far cry better than the 27 or 28 degrees that we had the night before at our last anchorage. And right after you get the anchor up, it's kind of hard to feel your fingertips. It's kind of a thing. Hold on, gotta check my chart again. What the heck am I supposed to do here? God, some of these waters are just maddening. Am I supposed to go around there? Oh, no wonder I was so confused. Okay. This is one of those places where even having electronic charts and being able to look to see what's going on, it is just sometimes maddening. You look up and all you see is stuff and markers, and with binoculars, with help, with no matter what it may be, it is oftentimes really damn difficult to discern what your path is supposed to be through any of this. Where am I going here? Confidence inspiring, isn't it? Then there was another bridge. And this time, the bridge tender came out to wave at us as we passed through. Little River Bridge, Little River Bridge, Ave Del Mar. Good morning, southbound sailing vessel. I'm just approaching the fixed bridge right now, but would like to sneak through yours whenever I can.
No problem, Captain. We will open the bridge just as soon as it's safe to do so. I see you're heading this way now, so we'll be opening shortly here, okay?
Copy that. Ave Del Mar, standing by 09. Thank you. All right. Thank you. Well, wasn't she just the nicest? I've never cleared a bridge by yelling up to the bridge tender before. We made it to Southport, North Carolina, and tied off in a marina for a few days to visit my mom. And mom isn't in the podcast because we were too busy catching up. But oddly enough, some other folks are. Remember that beer buying thing? Well, these are the folks who did that for us there.
Mark Bennett, sailing vessel soulmates. S-O-L-M-A-T-E-S. Stands for sharing one love or shit out of luck. We know each other because
Tanya Campana
messaged you and said, hey, we're in Southport. Come get a beer.
My name is Daniel Gedman. I live in Boiling Spring Lakes, just north of Southport.
I saw a picture of your boat in South Harbor, and I was like, that's South Harbor Marina. Let's get a beer.
After a few days, a few friends, and a few beers in Southport, we left and headed on, trying to get to a protected anchorage to sit out a gale and then get on towards Charleston. Good morning. is January 18th. We're in the ICW westbound in North Carolina. Okay, well, overall, we're southbound. Untied the dock lines this morning from South Harbor Village Marina, right about 9 o'clock, maybe 10 minutes after. We are now on our way, hoping to go from Oak Island to Little River Inlet, which would be, I think, just north of Myrtle Beach and is, I believe, South Carolina. We are heading for Little River Inlet today. It's supposed to be kind of overcast, not too cold, and calm. As of right now, all the weather models, Windy, Chris Parker, everything shows a just nasty low coming in that's going to just kind of blanket the southeast. It's supposed to give us gale force winds. If all goes according to our plan, assuming we make Little River Inlet tonight, we'll sneak in there real quick, drop the hook, take off early tomorrow, and head down into the Waccamaw. The real bottom line is that the Waccamaw itself is kind of great, and there's just dozens of little creeks in and out, lots of which have deceptively deep water. I mean that in a good way, like we're talking 12 to 20 instead of 4 to 6, where you can get in, actually get some scope out, drop the hook, and get protection from what is hopefully coming. So that's our plan. We'll come as it may. We'll find out, and I'm sure you'll find out too. We made it into one of my favorite areas in North Carolina, off the Waccamaw River. When you get back in there, there isn't a man-made structure in sight. The water is just perfectly deep and stays deep right up to the trees that abut the river. It's just safe, protected, incredibly pitch black overnight. The stars come out and you're protected from all directions of weather. And while we were there, hiding from weather, I made this report. Kopi and I are anchored in the Waccamaw River. Waccamaw, W-A-C-C-A-M-A-W. That would be in South Carolina, kind of near Myrtle Beach / Georgetown. We did not go anywhere today. We got in here yesterday late afternoon. Maybe 4:30 or 5-ish. Forgive this clunking in the background. I'm doing dishes. We got in late yesterday, got the anchor set. This weather dance that you do on the boat when you're not out big sailing is really sometimes, it's always interesting. It's sometimes frustrating. The difference between what's happening to the weather inshore versus offshore, et cetera, et cetera. So we ended up anchored here, and I woke up this morning at 6, listened to the weather, got all the information I could. We're kind of at the brink of thinking we were going to head on. Ultimately decided that we'd had kind of a rough night's sleep. Nothing bad happened. It was really windy last night. Ooh, and it's really windy now. It was really windy last night. I mean, not terrible. From checking the charts this morning, it was 20 to 25, gusting up around 30. Anchor held great. I had extra snub line out. I had extra anchor out. I loved the spot where we chose to hide from the storm here. It's called Enterprise Passage, I believe, on or just off of the Waccamaw. I believe it's actually on the Waccamaw River. It's about midday now. I don't know exactly what time it is. The winds are just now picking up, so I've spent most of the morning kind of feeling like we're sitting here becalmed and we should be going forward. So now as the front is pushing in and the temperature is starting to drop, it is in the maybe mid-50s now. It's supposed to be in the low 40s by mid-afternoon and the mid-20s by tonight, which I do not think is thrilling in the co-captain, but we'll get through it. I am very glad that we didn't move on. I would expect we'll probably be underway again tomorrow. We had about 2 days left in our journey to Charleston, South Carolina, which is an awesome and exciting city. We were looking forward to going ashore. Our first day away from the Waccamaw was uneventful. We anchored off the Santee River in a sunset that just bled hues of magenta and purple around the entire sky. And then, on January 22nd, we headed towards Charleston. Here's your aground report. Hold on. Our second pon-pon for people under whatever the Ravenel Bridge is. It's not the bridge I just came through, and it's not the bridge that I'm trying to go through next. Ave is currently very gently aground. We've got east-northeast winds that are blowing a pretty steady, maybe 25. We are at low tide, and there's just simply no water. Didn't miss a marker, didn't misread the chart, didn't get cocky. There's just no water. I was going about as slow as I could with a 25-knot tailwind. Whatever I could do to maintain steerage, just creeping along, kind of hoping to pick our way through. And I think that all this wind, and the wind is pretty substantial, is blowing what little water there is right out of this creek. I don't know. So the beautiful thing, I was explaining this earlier to Kobe, when we were somewhere picking through horribly shallow water but at high tide, and we're in a place with like a 5-foot tidal range, the beauty of high tide is there's a lot of water. The bad thing about high tide is if you find the bottom, you're kind of screwed because it's just going to get worse. So the inverse of that would be true right now. There is just no water to go through. But in a place with this much tidal range, water's gonna come back. The engine is fine. Kobe's below, keeping an eye on the gauges. It is windy and it is cold. I thought about unfurling Genoa, but I thought, dear Lord, if that thing fully powers up and takes me off and takes me just onto the next shallow, because this area is just full of shoaling, then I'm really not going to be better off because I will plow into it with some force. So we're going to wait. I've been into this harbor at night before. We're maybe an hour or so from hitting the anchorage, or at least the main part of the harbor. Lots of daylight left, lots of water left, and lots of tide to come back in. So I'm going to stand here and kind of keep an eye for boat traffic coming from either way. Call it people, let them know that I'm slightly perpendicular to my intended path here in the waterway and that I am soft aground. I guess we might have to call this hard aground at this point and make sure all traffic stays clear. I'll check back in either after we're clear or as we clear. Welcome back. Mother Nature is awesome. Tides go, but tides come back. Uh-oh. Yep. And you wonder why I hear the depth alarm in my sleep. We waited about 45 to 50 minutes. Tides came back up enough that I could kind of just gunner and push through. Co-captain's going below because she's afraid I'm going to ask her questions. Oh, no, I was wrong. She doesn't mind questions. It's just too damned cold. Eventually, tides came back in a little. You could feel the boat kind of right herself. And we shoved off. Okay, I'm back. So I guess the real miracle part of this story, if this holds true, And if we don't run aground between here and the bridge... Jesus Christ. Is that we might actually make the bridge opening. The bridge goes on curfew at 4 o'clock. It is now 3:50. So assuming that we are up there and queued up in time, this bridge, which is the Ben Sawyer Bridge approaching Charleston, does not open during rush hour 4 to 6 p.m. So not only did the tides come back, but I think they're going to give us a chance to get through this bridge. We shall see. I'm going to stand by and see if we can time this right. Not exactly how you want to spend your afternoon. All right, let's see if we can get through Ben Sawyer here. Bobby Damar, go ahead.
Captain, I'm experiencing high winds right now. I may not be able to open for you. Keep approaching, we'll just have to plan for you.
Copy that. I will approach. Keep me advised.
Roger that.
So, they may or may not be able to open because of the high winds. Never a dull moment. Looks like he's going to go ahead and open it for us. Son of a bitch! Traffic, but it didn't open the bridge, and right when I was trying to turn around and I was about to run into the shallows, I think he is not opening. Bobby Damar, go ahead.
Captain, I tried, but I just couldn't open it. It kicked up to 27 when I was about ready to swing it.
Copy that. Does that mean I'm 2 hours?
Fortunately, that's a roger.
Okay. I appreciate you trying very much.
Good day. Just know you're out there.
We got free and went down to Ben Sawyer Bridge, the next bridge we were going to pass through. We called. They were on demand. He said as long as we made it by 4, we could get through. But then he had too much wind because it was clocking like 28 knots. So while I was right up on the bridge, even though he'd already stopped traffic, he told me he couldn't open the bridge, so I had to go into some emergency maneuvers with a really brisk wind at my tail to not hit that bridge, and I was having a tough time getting the boat turned around without crabbing up on shore, but we got that done all right. So we came back and dropped the anchor right off the channel here. Not really enjoying that a whole lot. We are anchored, the winds are still up. Now that I'm anchored, she's got a tug and barge coming through, which they will open for even during rush hour restrictions, but I found this information out too late and was not able to get my anchor weighed in time to swing around without being a danger to that barge. I'm not sure I really wanted to dance next to that guy out in the channel anyway. So when this barge comes by, we're going to try to get the anchor up in this wind and then creep back up the creek a little bit and tuck into an anchorage for the night is the plan. We will see how it goes. At this point in our story, there's a gap in the recordings. Heading up to our anchorage, we ran hard, really hard, aground on an oyster bed. The winds were spinning the boat sideways. She was heeled over at a horrible, horrible angle. Down below, things were falling off of shells, even though we were pretty well stowed. And even as it happened, I was reminding Kobe that at worst, what we were suffering was an epic inconvenience. No one was going to die. The boat couldn't even sink if she wanted to, because she was already on the bottom. But the stress of wind and lack of water and absence of control adds up anytime for anyone, and eventually we broke down. Kobe cried first. She looked at me with sad eyes, and I looked back at her and said, "You have permission to cry," and that's all it took. And as soon as she started, I joined in, and for a good minute or so, that's what we did. Then we cleaned up, started making decisions about what to do next. We had towing insurance, but dragging your boat off an oyster bed isn't really the best way to get free. The best way to get free is to wait for the tides, which we did, and they came. Ave finally floated free, and we limped into a creek to hide for a couple of days and to lick our wounds. We anchored in Inlet Creek in 15 feet of water, with very little boat traffic to worry about and great protection from those angry winds. Over our first night, Charleston weather stations recorded wind gusts into the 60-mile-an-hour range. And the funny thing is that on paper, the approach to Charleston was about as simple as they come. Reality was very, very different. And this is why we do this. We don't want to be miserable. We don't want to be cold. We don't want to suffer and run aground. But we do want to meet challenges and persevere. That's the reward of sailing. That's about it for this episode. I'd like to thank D Imperfection for our theme song, Welcome to Neverland. All the other music samples are credited on our website, postcardsfromsea.com. Thanks also to Mark Bennett, Tanya Campana, Dan O'Gedman, John Barry, my mom, countless other folks who made this trip a special one. Thanks as always to Mike McDowell for production assistance and advice. And to all of you out there, we'll be back soon with more stories. Until then, be well and be happy.
I saw this motorcycle cop, and I walked up to talk to him, and I realized it was a motorcycle medic.
Yes, it was a paramedic on a Harley. I about lost my shit. I'm like, if I had known this was a thing, fuck.
So we're heading towards our anchorage, which is near What island? Crow Island? Cliff Island? Chuck Island?
Cold Island?
Cold Island? Fantasy Island? What's the name of the island?
I don't know.
Are you the navigator?
Not today.
You know that's not an opt-out position, right?
Down fishing.
You can't. I'm watching you, and you are definitely not fishing. That is bullshit. Navigator's looking for that. We'll check back in if she finds it.